Good morning.
Oh, okay. You are out there. All right. My name's Jason Young. Are the kids staying? Are they going? Or okay. That's fine. See you, buddy. So as Chris mentioned, we are doing something a little bit different this morning. I don't play guitar and I don't sing. In fact, I know they've talked about the budget and the budget being tight. We actually had to fire the band. So no, it's a joke. They'll be out later. Don't worry. But my family and I have been members here for 2.5 years, and I think I actually drew the short straw this morning. Because when you have Chris up here or Nathan or Joey on stage with a microphone, they like to talk. But when you put all three of them on stage with a microphone, whew, that's why we're running a little behind. So we're approaching the 7-year mark for 24 Church, which is just awesome. We're going to spend a little bit of time this morning talking about the past 7 years, but more importantly, kind of where 24 is going. You know, what's in the vision, what's in the plans for 24 Church, and kind of how we as a body can be a part of that. So to kind of get things started, we've got an amazing video. Jerry combed the video archives of 24 Church. I got a challenge. See if you can count how many different hairstyles and how many different hair colors exist in this video. So Jerry, go ahead. Awesome. So all right, did you guys count? I think I had 12 different hairstyles.
Most of them were Chris's.
Yeah. And I think there was a pair of leather pants.
I had some pretty cool blonde highlights too, though.
You should try that again.
No.
you with the... But I will say the...
yeah, what was that?
I liked his soul patch thing.
Yeah. That's dead now. Moving on.
Yeah, anyway. But no, 7 years, it's been amazing. It seems like I look back and you guys look so young and...
Really?
Now,
thank you, man.
I didn't mean that way. But
punk.
Now I'm in trouble again.
Church discipline.
But moving on. When you think back over the last 7 years, and we could talk all morning about memories and stories. Pick one memory that sticks out most for you guys over the past 7 years.
Just one. We have a staff retreat about twice a year, and they're always just great times. We get to hang out and we actually do some work there actually, but a lot of times it's times where we get to spend kind of time in isolation, just kind of with God and let God speak to us on vision pieces for the church. And it was a couple of years ago. I remember we were up in a cabin up in the mountains in Georgia, and we had kind of started feeling led to change our vision statement or our mission statement, which was at the time was reach up, reach out, and reach in, which we had kind of stolen from another church.
Borrowed
from another church. That's right. Right. And we just felt led to kind of have something that was we could get behind on that was our own. And we came up with love God and love people. And as we started talking through that, it really fit what we felt like we wanted our church to be. But then I think it was Nathan that said, felt like there was just something missing. And we got to talking through it, and we added the gospel pieces. Love God, love people, and live gospel. And that's really kind of, from that point on, it's kind of changed our ministry. Mm-hmm. And changed the way that we view church, and really driven us into, you know, more of a gospel-centered, whether it be our messages, our community, like we'll talk about later today. But I think that was a big turning point for us.
Mine has to be, it was a few years into the church, and we were meeting. We're still mobile at the time, so we were meeting at Pleasant View Christian School in their gym in hallways, which was interesting every week. But we had to set up on Saturday nights, and that was the only time that the band could practice or do anything, learn songs and get sound checked. And one night we were doing that, and many of you know Logan, and it's crazy to think that some of you might not know Logan, because he was just such a fixture around here for the first 6 years of our church. And man, amazing servant. He drove from McKenzie, Tennessee here every weekend just to serve, and he didn't get paid to do that. He just did it because he wanted to serve God and the people at 24 Church. Well, he just bought this nice guitar. It's like the first nice thing he'd ever owned, and he was proud of it. And so we were playing, and he took a couple steps away after setting it on the stand and knocked it right over. And it fell flat on its face, and the headstock broke off, part where the tuners are. And if you don't know very much about guitars, that's not good. And so he broke his guitar, the one he'd just gotten, and his lips started to, like, quiver. It was pretty awesome. I'll never forget that part. We probably laughed a little bit on the inside. And so he was heartbroken. And the next day, we had never done this before, but Chris just asked, "Hey, church, let's respond to a need here. He served us so well. Why don't y'all just slip some money in his hand before you leave?" And he walked out of there with, like, enough money to buy a guitar three times worth what that one was worth. And what was so cool about that is not about just a guitar or a possession, but it was just seeing the church function as the church, like meeting a need and caring for another member of it. I think that was probably one of my fondest memories.
It's real hard for me to get past the very first Sunday that we met, just because it was just kind of like, where do these people come from? People ask me all the time, how many did you have the first Sunday you met, and what was that like, and where did the people come from? And honestly, looking back on it, I always answer that question. I say, I don't really know. I'm not real sure where those people came from. And it was just unbelievable, because we didn't do advertising or anything for like the first 6 months of the church. To kind of go against that, I know we're doing one, but I'm going to do two.
Pastors.
I think here last year at Plunge, and all of us were out baptizing. We saw some shots of that. We were all baptizing in the water, different folks that were coming down, and I think we baptized like 30-something people. I don't remember. I just remember a point of standing out there in the water and looking down both sides, down through all these people, and just recognizing how God was using so many different people to lead, and that it was no longer a church that was, led by one or two people, but we were led by a team of pastors and ministers. And it was just like a God moment for me. It was just like, man, how awesome is God that he can do that, So that's probably mine.
Yeah, the past 7 years, a lot of big change, mm-hmm. a lot of things happening. But even just 2011 was a huge year in terms of some things that took place just here at 24. Some truly God things. You guys want to kind of touch on one or two of those?
We got to, like, we had the privilege of planting a church this year. One of our pastors here, Ben, felt led and called to go plant a church in East Nashville. That's happened. It delights our hearts because, one, we see the kingdom of God grow, and two, we get rid of Ben. And so it was a great day for this church. If you're listening, Ben, I mean it. The other thing is, even just yesterday, something big that happened in 2011, God put it on our hearts to install a deacon body here at 24 Church. And yesterday we sat down. It was one of the best days of ministry in my life, yesterday was. And so we just got to pour into deacons yesterday. And these are people who are going to be serving you and leading you. And so, man, that's exciting to see people engaging more and more in ministry. That's what church is.
And kind of like what I alluded to earlier is we kind of made a shift towards gospel-centered teaching and gospel-centered living, as far as that's concerned. If you've been here the last few months, we've been in series about gospel, and I know for me that's just been precious to me because it's helped me realize the need to know the gospel, first of all, and then to apply it and use it and let it drive my life.
So what would you say, because we use that word a lot, gospel, would you say gospel is?
The message of the story of the good news of God sending his only son, Jesus, who lived a sinless life, perfect life, yet died a sinner's death in our behalf, so that we can inherit the kingdom of God, inherit eternity with God, because we can't in our current state of sin. And Jesus is the one that made that possible. And that's good news. That's great news for all of us.
That's what gospel means, yeah, right. Good news. And right. It changes everything.
It absolutely changes everything.
Definitely. That to me is the thing that probably stands out the most is, you know, we used to try to be what's considered a little bit of an attractional model of a church, but God, you know, just completely, you know, led us, convicted our hearts of just kind of where we were and just trying to be more gospel-centered. And we were teaching Jesus, and he was the center, but yeah. Just really, really just honing in on that. And so, and I'd like to share this passage of scripture out of Mark 16. In Mark 16, verse 15, it says this, and this is the Great Commission in the book of Mark. It's talking, Jesus is about to speak here. It says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." And I think that it just, I think, as you know, as you just do something longer, you begin to hone in, like, you know, what is the thing? Like, if there's a thing that we've got to focus on, especially all the time, what is it? It's the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's where we've got to be on every single thing that we're doing. People come and say, hey, can we do this? Can we do that? At the end of the day, I just go, is it gospel-centered? Because if it ain't gospel-centered, we don't want to do it.
So, and I mean, kind of taking that same line with being the gospel-centered, you know, we use the word church a lot.
Yeah.
In terms of a lot of different things. As briefly as possible. Which I know for Nate is challenging.
Chomping at the bit on this one.
But, you know, take a minute and kind of talk about what is the church and what the Bible says and the gospel says is the view of the church.
I'm place not, with a steeple.
Yes, yeah, that's right. We got one, we're one. Church, right?
Right.
I'm not going to go off on this one. I'll save my going off for later.
For any of you, just real quick, if you've just joined us in the last couple of minutes, we're doing something different today. We're not generally in this kind of format, but we wanted to do something that would kind of show it, you know, kind of let us talk about vision for the church over the, you know, for the next, you know, few years, really. So, but back to your question about church, what is church? I mean, it's, I think what we're going to try to do today is try to help change your view of church. What is church? You've probably grown up like me, and a church is a place where you go on Sundays, or maybe Wednesday nights or Sunday nights. But it's really so much more than that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a body of believers. It's not all believers. You know, there's folks that are not believers, but it's a body of people that are coming together for the glory of God. You know, and I think for us to just catch a glimpse of what that means when we say that it's a body of believers doesn't mean that it's, you know, a building type thing like so many of us want to think when we think church or we're going to go to church today or, you know, whatever it is. I think for us just to catch the understanding that us as a body of believers can be a body that comes together and a body that goes out. Mm-hmm. And so we are still the church during the week together, even though we are apart from each other at times. And we're going to talk in a few minutes about how we need to come together more even outside of here to be there for one another. But I think for us just to get this understanding of us being the church, fulfilling who we're called to be in Scripture, and coming around the message of the gospel and being led by that to live gospel, so to speak.
You know, to me, one word that describes what church is, it's a community. And it's a community that's been brought together and unified in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And now, no matter our differences, now we're adopted as sons and daughters, and so we're family. So a close, tight-knit community, not based off of our personal interests or our hobbies or where we live or the color of our skin. It's worldwide. It's global. It's a living thing, and it's united in Jesus. And what we see it expressed in local church like this is that Christians gather together. They organize under qualified leadership so that we can help each other, so that we can sacrifice for each other, so that we can keep each other accountable. This is the big one. We gather together so that we can unite around the mission of what of God in this world, and then go out and together live that out as one body, as the New Testament calls it. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and thank you for bringing up the word community, because that's, you know, that's kind of where we're going to, I think, camp out quite a bit this morning on and kind of dig into that a little bit. And Chris, you know, last week you mentioned community is going to be a big focus for 24, not just in 2012, but kind of going forward. Why is community kind of the focus and so important?
I believe, and I want everybody to get this because this is going to change a lot of things. I believe that community, and as we're going to define community today, a lot of us, I think, have an understanding of what we think community is, yeah. and that may look like something like a Sunday school class, or it may look like a small group home team kind of scenario, whatever, and there's community in those things, but we're talking about something that's a little bit different this morning that really is going to be kind of central in what we're talking about. With understanding of gospel community and living gospel community. The reason that I say that we're going to spend this year honing in on this thing is because I really believe with all my heart that this is going to be the thing that changes the way people look at church. Now, and I want you to hear that. And I want you just to kind of, as we begin talking about this morning, that you begin to understand that I know that a lot of us are used to, when we're talking about church, we're thinking about buildings, we're thinking about when everybody gets together to worship God, which is, that's an aspect of it, but it's not the only aspect of it. And so, you know, for us to understand what it means to have gospel community, you know, I think is going to be huge. I think that for us to understand that it is not something that we just do, but it is our lifestyle, mm-hmm. and that we are the church all of the time. One, you know, in ones here and there and everywhere, but that we're still a part of a bigger body. And I just really think that this is going to be the thing that will change the face of the church as we know it, and even as our neighbors know it, as they see us, it will no longer just be church. They went to church today, yeah. on Sunday morning. They're going to see church happen in houses. That's and right. things like, because all of the cars that are going to be parked up and down your streets because of this going on. So yeah, it's a big deal. We're going to flesh that out.
So kind of taking, I guess, the first step in terms of looking at the community, what are ways that you know, myself, the rest of the members and body of 24 can get involved in, I think you mentioned it, the gospel center community here at 24?
It's so necessary. We don't even realize that we need community.
The way we do, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're it's the way we were created. Uh-huh. And we flourish in community. And even if you're an introverted person or something like that, and we're not talking about, you know, extrovert versus introvert. We're just talking about the need for human community, and centered around the gospel. And that can come in several different ways. But in a couple different ways that we offer it here at 24 Church, we want to cultivate it and create it is first of all through our membership. Our membership is, if you've been in church all your life, you've been around churches, our membership probably looks a lot different than what you're used to in membership. At 24, we have what's called a covenant membership. Nathan, you want to speak into that a little bit?
Before that, I'll even say this, is that gospel community and what we just see as, you know, relationships and friendships and a community of people who have the same interests and stuff, the way that that's different is that we don't choose necessarily to be a part of a gospel community. We are.
Right.
And so if we start to realize that concept that this is who we are, we're in Jesus, just like you are in Jesus. And so now we're brothers. And because of that, because we're in Jesus, now we can have community like God intended it to be, like he had created it to be, where there is no judgment because Christ has taken the judgment for us, right? We can forgive because Christ has forgiven us. We know what real love is because he first loved us. It's in 1 John. And so we can express community in a biblical way because of what the good news, because of what God has done when he intervened into things. And so here at 24, one of the ways to be able to be accountable and be cared for and be a part of this kind of larger family is to be a covenant member here. And we don't see that as the biggest expression of community at our church. Like, you will get to meet some great people. But what you will get to do is covenant with those other people to try to live a life that is evidence of a changed heart through Jesus. And so here at 24, rather than just like a lot of churches, like we walk down the aisle and you say, I'm a Christian and I've been baptized and I want to be a member here, and you sign a card and all of a sudden you're a member. We don't see that as much of a commitment to one another. And we take it seriously because we do. We want to commit to one another that we'll be there for each other, right? That we'll be a family member to someone else. That we'll hold someone accountable if they're in sin. That we'll encourage them when they need it. That we'll help them with their physical needs. That we'll walk through life with them. And that's what we covenant under. And also we're covenanting together for not just accountability, but also for mission.
Right.
So we can say we're on a mission, or we've got a goal, a common purpose, and we want to unite
unified,
in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how God intended.
And it's not a covenant with Chris, for instance. It's not a covenant with Chris. Like you know, I'm signing. I'm going to do these things for Chris.
Right.
Or Nathan, or an organization. Or an organization. Right. It's each other. You're covenanting to each other. Your neighbor, your fellow member in this body.
And we're all a part of this. Like,
exactly.
we too are covenanting with you guys, yeah. And vice versa. I mean, it's not like
it takes that much. I mean, you only have to, like, give us your social security number,
that's
your
right.
credit card number,
really,
or the PIN number.
Couple,
you know, not a big deal.
Couple of vials of blood.
Blood, yeah.
Do you want to touch on the process of membership, and since you've kind of declined the credit card piece now?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. We will do that, though, for real. No, we're not going to do that. Here at 24, and it's convenient that we're talking about this, and it wasn't, we didn't even think about this before.
Not at all.
But tonight starts a round of covenant membership, and tonight you could come to a meeting at 5 o'clock, 5 p.m., hear that, 5 p.m.
Who's leading this meeting, Nathan?
That would be me. And so you get to hear me rant tonight about some stuff. But it's just a good time to get to hear more about the church, if you're interested in hearing more about it, and get to explain what membership at 24 Church looks like. But the process is that you would hear about it. We ask you to go to these classes called Foundations. My father leads, and he's an amazing teacher that teaches, just kind of reminds us and goes back over the foundations of our faith. And it is a time of refreshing, and we need a reminder about that stuff. And after that, if God's leading you to join as a member here and join us in what we're trying to do here in Pleasant View, then you'll get to sit down or on the phone or in person with one of us and get to meet us, and we'll get to meet you. And that's kind of the whole idea here, is that we want to know you, and we want you to know us. We're in this thing together, okay? And we never want to seem like you're separate from us. Like, and I think that idea of family and this bond of us being on mission together and doing something together is one of the big reasons that we want to covenant together. And then after that, we have a big celebration where we feed you, and it'll be really cool.
It's good food.
And it's good food, hopefully.
Always.
Always.
We like to eat as members.
Yes. And that's the other thing. If you're a member,
we have potluck.
We have potlucks for members.
I mean, this is church, right?
Yeah, exactly right. And potluck in the South is like, no, no.
You've got to have it.
It's good stuff. So kind of as we continue kind of diving a little bit deeper into the community aspect of this, let's touch on the idea of small groups and kind of take a look at small groups as they exist today and kind of opportunities within that realm.
Well, we've got... traditionally, we've had small groups that met in people's homes, 10 to 12 people. We call them home teams, and they've just been great little institutions where people can, and there's been some community formed there, but where people have come in and they learn. There's a curriculum usually, or there's a central teacher that usually teaches or leads or facilitates a discussion. And they share prayer requests and things like that. And it's just a good time. We don't have Sunday school here, so it's a time for learning and things like that. When they've been very successful, I think there's been a lot of people. There's been lives changed. There's been people come to Jesus through these things. So that's kind of what we've traditionally done for small groups. I think we'll talk about, Nathan will talk a little bit about, or a lot about, kind of a transition that we're hopefully going to be making over the next few years even. So
we've actually been doing kind of a trial run on one of these what we're calling missional communities right now. We were talking just a few minutes ago about the importance of community and how we see community changing the face of the church and this whole different lifestyle aspect type thing. Nathan has actually been trial running, what'd you call it, a pilot, so to speak, of what this could look like. Tell us about that. Tell us what that's been like, and let's talk about that.
Do you want to define kind of what it is first, or do you want to talk about the experience first?
I'll talk about it a little bit.
All right.
I might do both, Jason. Right. Thanks for asking.
There you go.
Where's my soapbox? No, a few months ago, this had been a conviction on our hearts, and really, the conviction was that we want to see growth, and we want to see us reaching the greater community, the city in which we live, right? I mean, that's what Jesus says. He says, go and make disciples. That's what he says. He doesn't say, just go to church. That's not the end goal. And even in that definition, that's not the right definition of church. He says, go and make disciples. And so we started to be convicted about what does that mean to go and to make disciples of all nations. And so me and my family felt led to kind of explore this and just jump in with 2 feet. And we had no clue what we were getting into. It's like saying that you've watched ER for like 2 or 3 seasons and now I can do surgery. Like that's kind of how we felt. And trust me, I'm not George Clooney. And so we jumped into this thing and just started to invite people and see what it could look like. And if you are a part of our Chamley, which is the worst name ever, it's our church family put together, real creative, right? If you're a part of our Chamley, why don't you stand up?
Much better. A little better.
Yeah, there's only like 2 people in first service. Hey, just and y'all just pipe up.
Don't sit down.
Don't sit down.
You're standing.
Don't you do
morning,
it. Don't sit down. We're going to call you out here.
It's amazing how the teenagers are sitting all sitting down.
Seymour. Hey, just and y'all can pipe up. I'm going to ask you a question. Has God been moving and have powerful only God stuff been happening since we've been meeting? Could one of you guys just say, like, this is happening right now? I mean, no, thank you, Jason.
You opened the door for that one.
Yeah. You're fired.
Totally
sit down. Okay. No, but does anybody have just like one thing, like one sentence, 2 sentences that they could say, this is what's happened? Come on, I prepared you guys for this. What are you doing? No, I didn't. Oh, wrong. Wrong.
That's
like
true
talk.
Family right there.
Hey. Y'all can sit down. Yeah, Lisa makes good food. Now, here's the thing. Of the people that just stood up, I'm looking at every single one of them, and I consider them my family. Like, I love you guys. And Jeremy, dude, I love you. Here's the thing. We've seen God, and it could only be God, work through just us being in community with each other. We've challenged each other to live with each other almost, like to be involved with each other's lives, that it go past just a program of church. And so many times small groups and home teams like we have seen before are just a program of the church, just something that we offer to you so you can grow. And the idea with this is that rather than offering something for you to kind of feed off of and grow in the Lord, we're saying we are going to be the church, an expression of what the church is in the world, in these communities. And through it, we've seen God work powerfully. And Jeremy's a testimony to that. And it's nothing that we've been doing. It's something that God has been doing. And so the idea with these missional communities is the idea that rather than just come together and learn about God's word, which is a fantastic thing, can I say, we're actually coming together to try to live God's word together. To say, this is what the Bible says about this. Now let's encourage each other, hold each other accountable. Let's walk with each other through living out what God's word really says. And that's the big thing. And we do that on mission because the gospel's changed our lives. And now we all have this common purpose, like we're a big family. Then we come together to show this kind of community that we've gotten together to the rest of the world.
What is that common mission?
Specifically, it could be a lot of different things.
The thing that I see that it is that so many times home teams are not, or small groups are not, or Sunday school or whatever, is that you guys are going about 5 to 10 steps further with really getting your hands dirty with being a part of each other's lives.
Yeah.
I mean, you said these folks are your family.
Yeah.
I mean, and here's the truth. I mean, let's face it. You know, our families in this day and age, a lot of times our families aren't really our family. I mean, we don't really look to our families a lot of times for, you know, spiritual direction and, you know, guidance in like the moments of life when we really need guidance. Are we, you know, I mean, sometimes we are. For some of us, we are. But for a lot of folks, they're not. Because maybe they don't know the Lord or whatever it is. And, you know, with you guys, the thing that's happening here is you guys are not just gathering together and saying, well, hey, I've got a prayer request and, you know, I need prayer for this struggle or whatever. And then everybody's like, okay, well, we'll pray for you about that. And, you know, you guys are like, hey, why is that a struggle? Let's see what the gospel is saying about that. Can we speak into your life right now and give you some thoughts, some advice from Scripture? And then let's pray for you. I mean, you guys are moving on to a section of life where most people are not willing to go. And the truth is that for so many people that come to church, they just want to come to church and they do this. And it's like, hey, I'm at church and that's good enough for me. It's good enough for me to come and have my toes stepped on, but for you to get involved in my life and try to speak into it what Scripture might say, I don't want anything to do with that. That's not really living a life of holiness.
Yeah.
Because we see Scripture teaching us and leading us to see that we need community with one another, and we need one another to push each other toward Jesus. And that means getting our hands dirty.
Yeah, and we've got to start seeing that the Christian life is not just about personal growth and renewal.
Mm-hmm.
That the Christian life is being a part of a communal, together mission. Like we're a body.
That pushes each other toward that mission.
That's exactly right. And here's the thing. The mission is just to make God known in our own lives and for each other, but also to the world.
Right.
And so what you see this looking like, just to kind of give you an idea, is that the model that we've been in has been a closed group model, right? So you got like 10 or 12 people. You come in together and study maybe a DVD study or whatever it might be. And what that forms is this really kind of safe place. All right. You got a safe place to share, and you can really get some stuff out there. But what that turns us into is kind of a therapy group, right? And all of a sudden we start using each other, and we start consuming it rather than being a part of it, engaging it, and giving toward it. And so it becomes about me. What can I learn? What can I get from these other people? Whereas this kind of idea is, what can I give? How can I give to this? How can I meet this need? And the idea is that we said that these are missional communities, because it's not all about just being buddy-buddy, right? These are very intentional groups that will, with the idea, be a city, a little community within the larger community, like Pleasant View. And so, like, even our missional community, what we feel like God has been leading us to do is to reach Sycamore Middle and Sycamore High Schools. And by doing so and being ingrained and involved in those communities, then we could show people gospel through that. Mm-hmm. We could be able to preach gospel into it. See, God has put us in a certain place at a certain time for a reason, right? He's called us all to be missionaries. The Great Commission was go make disciples. And so as we make disciples amongst us and we show community what it was intended to be out there, when they see people acting differently toward each other, when they see people not judging each other and being able to forgive one another, when they see grace and mercy extended to those people in our little group and without, they know something's different about that. And 1 Peter says that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When we interact with this kind of redeemed, how God's changed us through the gospel, when we express that in things like community, it's addictive. People see something different in it and they're drawn to it.
Well, community in itself is about meeting your own needs. So it's like, I'm going to join this particular community, whether it be Weight Watchers, or I'm going to join this other community, this gym, so I can go and work out and be around people that work out, or whatever your community is, we all join different communities.
Like Justin Bieber fan clubs and stuff. Yeah, I mean, everybody does that.
So we can be closer to Justin, whatever. But the gospel community turns that on its head and says, I'm in this community for you.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm in this community for someone else. I'm in this community for the betterment of other people.
Definitely. And it's reminiscent of Romans 15, where it says, therefore, welcome one another as you've been welcomed in Christ, as Christ has welcomed you. And so as Christ has extended these things and changed us, we can live changed lives that welcome each other in the way that he welcomed us.
We rob other people when we cease to be willing to be a part of this.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've realized that. You know, I mean, but let's just say that you are a part of community and someone has an issue in life and they share that. Let's say that you have been through something very similar and God's taught you a lot through that. The fact that you're not there in that moment cheats them out of what God has done in your life and how he wants to be glorified through maybe what was your suffering or something you went through, maybe something that was great. It may be able to handle a business decision or something. You know, who knows? But God wants to use us. And I think for so many of us, we get that mentality you were just talking about. You know, we make it about us and we join community for us. And the truth is not just for us. It's for the glory of God, number one, but also, it's also for them. It's for the other people. If I don't have community with you, then you get nothing of me. I get nothing of you. I mean, it's you know, we miss out on these very important pieces that bring glory to God.
And imagine teaching our kids from like this.
Yeah.
Imagine if we had grown up with this concept, which we didn't, of course. Imagine like your kids, Noah and Kate.
Yeah.
What are they gleaning from this type of community?
Well, I can say this. I mean, they're only 5 and 3 years old, but they ask, like Noah will ask almost every day, is it Sunday yet? And that blows my mind. And I didn't ask for Sunday to come around when I was growing up. And it's probably because, Mom, you put me in like sailor outfits, I'm sure, you know?
Say no to smocks. For your boys.
No knickers.
No smocks for boys. We will run you out of the
really,
church.
Really? Excommunication, right?
Yeah.
There.
Accessorizing guys, wrong. Don't do it.
I'm sure she's got pictures.
Hats. Oh, yeah, there's pictures.
Does she have a sailor hat?
Probably. I wouldn't know. Okay, anyway. But no, he's asking. And the funny thing about it is he loves, and we have a great children's ministry here. We really do.
We do.
And they really focus on equipping parents to help you with talking about God and helping to raise your children. But what we see is in a life of community, you know, you get that kind of cliched statement, it takes a village, right? My kids are living in community. They recognize already that they need other people. And they look forward to spending time with those other people. Sometimes maybe too much, right? But that's kind of how it is. And what would it look like for us to raise children from this body of believers that really understand that church is a living and breathing body of people that comes together to serve, love, worship Christ, and be centered on that. Man, and talking about being able to parent and help each other with that. Yeah, no, I think it's most important.
This has the potential to change the entire landscape of our community. And when I say our community, I don't mean just the 24 church community. I'm talking about the community, our city, you know, Pleasant View, Springfield, Ashland City, wherever it is, Nashville, Clarksville. I mean, just think about this. Think about the possibility that unfolds when you've got the opportunity to invite somebody that you work with to come and join you. Or let's say even your neighbor that lives next door to you and say, hey, what are you doing tonight? You know, when they're out there washing the dog or something, what's going on tonight? What you guys got planned? And you're able to say, well, hey, we're going to have some folks over at the house. We're going to be eating food. We're going to be hanging out. But we're going to spend some time praying together and checking on each other. And you know, we'll probably talk about the Bible just a little bit. We would love for you guys to come and join us and see if you guys would like to be a part of this. Who's to say? You know, and then who's to say that if you get one neighbor to come, Then you've kind of got a common ground. You begin praying for other neighbors, and who's to say that through these types of things, through having a real gospel centered community, that you don't begin to reach your neighborhood? Who's to say that eventually gospel communities, missional communities, aren't set up based upon the neighborhood that you live in, and you're praying for your neighbors, you're praying for people that don't know
That's
Jesus.
Right.
There's not to mention the thoughts of something like what he just mentioned, like them feeling called to come around these two schools or whatever it is. You know, I mean, who's to say? I mean, you know, whatever it was a million years ago, a youth pastor in Texas led his kids on a Disciple Now weekend, and his kids came to him and said, "We feel led to pray around our flagpole before school." Who's to say that something out of this isn't going to lead parents to want to go pray around a school? I mean, in our context, in this culture of Pleasant View alone, Cheatham County, whatever, what is the biggest gripe in the newspaper every stinking week? It's something about our schools. Yeah. How about instead of like us complaining about it, what would happen if we all came around and said, you know what, we're going to start praying for our schools?
Yeah, we love it and support it.
Yeah, we're going to start loving it. We're going to encourage people to be involved, people that love Jesus to be involved, so that, that Christ's love impacts the entire thing. I mean, who's to say that that's not going to completely change the entire landscape of this entire culture?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I'm not even going to go to politics.
Come on now. Watch out, preacher. Preach. Somebody give him a handkerchief. He needs one right now.
I want to dance.
Here's a concept. We see church as almost a city within a city. And we don't want to come off like we're saying that gathering together in one place like that, this for worship and for communion and for baptism and underneath the qualified leadership and things like that, that's church as well. We're called to gather together. So we're not discrediting this. But what we're trying to kind of see and envision is, what does it look like for us, rather than to live for Jesus one day a week in community or just together, what does it look like to do that every day and be deeply involved in the place where God has us and in each other's lives? There's a church, while the Industrial Revolution was going on in England, and a guy who was called a pastor at church, his name is Charles Hadley Spurgeon, Prince of Preachers, and his story is just phenomenal. But during this time, a lot of churches pulled out of the cities because there was riffraff coming in, right? There's all these migrant workers and workers coming in, and it got dirty, and it got full of crime, and it got full of sin, and so the church just left. They separated themselves from the culture. And Spurgeon said, no, this is where it's dark. This is where the light needs to shine, right? This is where the gospel is going to be sown. And so what they started to do, the church, because of the generosity of some of the members of the church, started to buy up houses around, I guess it's London, right?
Yeah.
Right. Started to buy houses around London. And then they started to meet like daily in these places. And these little parishes started to become ministry centers in the community. And all of a sudden, Spurgeon's church got around this idea that we are going to be for the good of this city. That we're going to show that God is good. That we're going to be able to preach to people in need. And what happened? There was revival that started to happen. The government started to partner with his church to make things go. And that's basically what these missional communities are going to start to look like.
Provide welfare. And
yeah, exactly. And what did God do? At the peak of it, in 19th century London, there's over 7,000 people packing into this room. It's unbelievable what God can do through us. Mm-hmm. And man, disciples were made, and that's what we're all about.
And I got to ask the question, why wouldn't God use us to do that?
That's right.
Why wouldn't
he will.
Why wouldn't he want to do that? Why wouldn't he want to be glorified in this community, in things like schools, the city, whatever it is? You know, I think for so many of us, we limit what God wants to do in our lives by saying, no, I'm not going to get my hands dirty. I don't want you to really know what's going on in my life. You stay right there. I'll join you on Sunday morning, but that's it. We got to go further than that.
Yeah.
We're missing it. We're completely missing how God wants to challenge and change us and push us. By us being together, pushing one another to what it means to be like Jesus.
And can I just say that, like, I don't want this to come across condemning, because God's just been revealing to us lately, and we've been around for 7 years. And so this is just a conviction that's kind of fresh and new, and we've been praying through this. And so, man, we hope to encourage you with this. We hope to for you guys to see that this is a God-sized thing, and he can do a lot of work through this.
So. Yeah, our hearts are heavy for the fact that we haven't been this way before now.
Yeah.
Our hearts are heavy that we are seeing the light on something that could completely change families, completely change lives, completely change communities, and us just get to be a part of something that God wants to do that's much bigger than us.
Yeah.
I think your passion, excitement about that. Hold on. Speaks to the impact of that change and what it can do personally, family.
I've seen community. It. Yeah, I'm seeing it happen right now. And man, yeah, it's great.
I'm going to ask something that might be a bit challenging here.
Uh-oh.
So when you think of community, a lot of people think of their town, their neighborhood, where they live, kind of a scenario. This is going to be a two-part, and I know the collective memory at the table might be challenged, but two parts. Is that view of community significant? And I guess more importantly, why is 24's position, the Pleasant View community, important?
Well, I mean, just like every community, I mean, Pleasant View is not, you know, any different. We live in a broken world. It's just the facts. I mean, there's crime. Now, crime's not terrible in Pleasant View, but it still exists. I think, you know, if you were to ask about the problems of Pleasant View, I mean, I think number one, you'd probably look at broken families. I think, and that's just that's the culture that we're in, and it's sad. I think that schools, our school system, like Chris said, our school system, though there's some very good, we have some very good teachers, but there's something broken too about our school system, and those are where our kids are being raised and taught. And so we're called as a community of believers to live within this community and change it and transform it, just like
show it a better way.
That's right.
Show it the right. Yeah.
Right. So I'm going to read a passage out of Jeremiah 29. Kind of let's show you kind of where we get a concept like this. This is a basically the Israelites have been taken into captivity by the Babylonians, and they've been taken to Babylon. And you would think that the reaction of the Israelites would be to fight against that and to try to get back to their home. Right?
Did you just say Babylonians?
Babylonians.
Like, oh, Babylonians. Because it's like a roaming horde of Bible salesmen.
Babylonians.
Babylonians. Avoid those Bible salesmen.
That's right. These are not Bible salesmen.
Your wife's shaking her head at you right now.
Babylonians. Anyways, if you've got a Bible, you want to turn to it real quick. It's Jeremiah 29. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7. And I'm just going to read it real quickly. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." So God sent them into exile, calls them to be in exile here into Babylon. He tells them, he says, "Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there, and do not decrease." Verse 7, this is kind of the kicker. It says, "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." And I think that's just absolutely right. I mean, we need to be living for the welfare of Pleasant View in particular. And we're talking about that in context today. And you may be in a different community, but for our context today, we're going to be talking about Pleasant View. This church needs to exist for the glory of God, of course, but through that, for the better welfare of the community that we live in.
That's right.
And then through that, your own welfare will be improved.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture talks far and wide about, you know, how it is our responsibility to help minister to the poor, minister to the widows, all those things. I mean, the truth is there is a lot of hurting people in this area. The other truth is we can't minister to all those people unless we're willing to be committed to this. And when I say we, I mean all of us. Like, if you're sitting here in the room and you consider this your church home and you're not visiting here today, you know, then that's we. That's us.
That's right.
That's us saying, we're not just going to talk about good things. We're not going to sit on the couch and talk about how other people need to do this or do that. We're going to say, we're going to get our hands dirty and we're going to do what God is leading us to do. We're going to be the church.
Mm-hmm. You know, as we kind of think of the community of the area of Pleasant View and things like that, what, and this can be brief because I know we're kind of coming close to the end here, but what are some ways that we as a body can help kind of create culture and kind of help foster that within Pleasant View?
I mean, I think, first of all, we need to, I think you were saying last night that we need to cultivate our culture that we have here.
Yeah.
And you were saying, for instance, the basketball game you went to, there's a center of culture there.
Yeah, right? The school is the ball field. Like, part of it is not just necessarily creating culture. There's culture that's existing already around you, and you're already in it. Like, you're a part of that community already. So it's identifying, I'm a part of this community, and I'm going to engage it.
Right.
I'm going to be intentional about it because I love it. It's part of who I am, too.
Right.
And that's part of it. It's not like we're going around saying we're going to create community. I think sometimes it's about, or culture, it's sometimes like knowing and realizing this is where I am, and just maybe God has me here for a reason. Just maybe He's above all things, and He knows that I was going to be here. And start to kind of to wrestle with that. I think that's where we got to be.
Right. But there are opportunities to create culture as well. I mean, I think one thing that Pleasant View, and you guys can probably agree, is that we lack kind of that, right now, that kind of local cultural center where people kind of gather together. And that happens on the ball field in the summer and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't know, in the past we've had coffee shops, and that was kind of where it was kind of had a Cheers type feel to it. It really did. And our community's kind of void of that right now.
Yep.
We just need some places. We'd love to see people in the church rise up and begin businesses that were gospel-centered. And through those businesses, they begin to create culture within, gospel-centered culture within our community.
Yes.
And that changes who we are as residents of Pleasant View. Mm-hmm. And it changes the community that we live in.
And it's not to say that if you're not doing that, like, you don't start a business for that reason. Like, you're in your job for a reason.
Absolutely.
That's right.
That's a community that you're in.
You are a missionary to where God has put you. That is being missional.
And we don't want to, like, have all this mystery about what missional means. You might, and we don't want to discredit, like, what you might already be doing. Mm-hmm. We want to encourage you.
Absolutely.
And being a disciple in where you are and being intentional about loving others, showing people Christ and talking to them about it. Like, if you're, that is missional living. Like, we don't want to, like, make some big, ooh, you got to do this and this and this.
Right.
Man, be a follower of Jesus. And that's the center of it.
So we're going to kind of switch gears a little bit. We've talked about some memories, kind of a lot of the changes with the focus on community. Looking forward.
Yeah.
The next 12 months. What would you guys like to accomplish? It's a broad, big statement, but
I want to see us start missional communities that begin to change the community. I want to see people coming to Jesus because their neighbor asked them to come over for their community group time. Or, you know, here's the thing: it's like everything that the church is called to do, almost every single thing, could flow right out of this missional community thing, which we see in Acts 2.
Yeah.
You know, go look at Acts chapter 2 and see a picture of what the church is doing there. They're coming together to worship. Then what are they doing? They're going into homes. They're breaking bread. They're, you know, I mean, they're doing this thing. And gosh, it's like we just miss that. And so I'm excited about getting to see how God is going to use us to continue to reach people. We started a church to reach people. We didn't start a church to, like, try to get other church people to come to our church because it's a cooler church or because whatever. I mean, we're a bunch of idiot sinners. At the end of the day, we're going to fail you. This isn't the perfect church. If you're looking for it, keep on going down the road.
Speak for yourself, dude.
You know, yeah. And, uh, And, you know, he's in sin right now. And so, repent right now.
Invitation time.
But, you know, it's, you know, I think for us just to kind of get a vision of that, of seeing that and how this can really change things, I think that's this year, continuing to teach the gospel.
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
I would love to see, I mean, we've got lots of you guys come in every week, and you're very faithful coming to church on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. But that's it, and that's where it kind of ends. And maybe you've got to know a few people and through that and everything. But I would love to see some commitment from the people that you call this your home. Join the church. Go through covenant membership tonight.
Definitely.
I'd love to see us double our membership this year. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
To me, and this can kind of go into our conclusion. The question is, and we think like, what's heavy on our hearts? And that idea has been heavy on my hearts is engagement into this community. If we view church not as a worship service or as a building, and we view it as a community of people who have been changed by Jesus and want to care for one another and be missionaries for the glory of God and for their, ultimately for their joy too. If we want to do that, then you can't do that just by walking in these doors and leaving mm-hmm. on a Sunday. And this has happened in our church, and we were like this at one time, and so I don't want to sound preachy, like this is a conviction for me. But what's happened is that we've turned church into Walmart, a one-stop shop to get everything that we need. And so we buy and we feed and we eat and we eat. And that's not what a church is. And churches have catered to that, see? All of a sudden, churches are saying, well, here's some programs to help you out, right? Here's some good ways to live your life. And so we just keep feeding people and feeding people. We never ask anyone and confront anyone with, this is about you being a part of something bigger, a kingdom, a citizen, a son or a daughter, a family member. And so I'll encourage you, and this is heavy on my heart, and I'm not preaching to you per se, but I'll say this. If you walk in these doors on a Sunday morning and leave, and that's all that you do, you are robbing yourself, and you are taking from this church, from this body of believers. Man, church is about giving. That's what Jesus said, being a disciple of Christ. He said, come, follow me. He said, sell everything that you have. He said, let the dead bury their dead. I am better. And so I just admonish you, I encourage you that today that you would say, you know what? I do need this. That today that God would convict you even in this place today, like he's convicted us, to say, I need other people, and it's time. It's time to engage these other people. It's time to plug in rather than just walk in here and walk out. And like I said, I'm not condemning you. And if you're a visitor here, we are so glad that you're here. But I hope our heart is coming across here that this is more to us than just a show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We want to see the Bible lived out.
Yeah.
We want to see God's will lived out in people's lives. I mean, that's the goal of a pastor, is to, you know, challenge, you know, preach the gospel, challenge people to live for Jesus. And that means for us to follow Scripture. And so, you know, it's not some, you know, we're constantly being convicted by it. If you can't tell, I mean, that's the theme here. We're convicted that we've got to lead in a different, little bit different direction, in a way that we feel is Bible. It is Scripture. It is by the gospel. It is for the glory of God.
You're kind of following on, you know, Nate's comment, Joey. Is there something that kind of is heavy on your heart and kind of keeps you up at night?
And we've talked a little bit about it. It's about our community, about where we live. I ask myself this sometimes, and is if we were to pick up and move the church, we were just going to just vacate this building and say move to Murfreesboro or Franklin or somewhere like that, Indiana. I don't know. We just move. How would it? What would it matter to this community? Would the community suffer? Would we be missed? I think now some of you would say, yeah, you know, I'd miss coming to church here and those kind of things. But would the community really miss us? Are we making such an impact in the community at this point in our church's life that if we're gone, a big part of the community goes with us. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, sometimes I'm back and forth on that, but you know, so it's heavy on my heart. I want to make sure that when I ask myself that question, or you ask yourself that question, that we can talk about our church, that it is truly making an impact in this community. Mm-hmm. And that starts through gospel-centered community.
It starts with the gospel.
Absolutely.
It starts with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And hear us. We've talked a lot about community. We've talked a lot about what could even be perceived as like humanitarian effort. You know, going and love people, you know, doing nice things for people. Let me tell you this, that we are only up here and we're only doing this because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became flesh, took on our sin, mm-hmm. gave us his righteousness, and now out of love, we obey him, and this is what he's called us to do. And it's the thing, it is what will bring us the most joy. And today, if you're in here and you don't know Christ, if you've never heard about that, you don't know Jesus, today he's inviting you to know him. And we'll talk about that.
And back in Jeremiah, in chapter 8, if you were to turn back into that, it talks about a community called Gilead. And it talks through that passage about they've tried to do all these things to repair their community. They had great efforts in repairing their community. But at the end of the day, there was no, what the verse says, there was no balm for Gilead. There was nothing, there was no physician that was good enough to cure Gilead. And the same goes for Pleasant View. There's no balm for Gilead. There's no physician. There's nothing that will correct it other than Jesus himself.
That's it.
You know, so.
That's it.
How about you? What keeps you up at night?
You really want to know? Here's the thing that lays heavy on my heart a lot is that I've watched our church grow. That first Sunday we had 69 people. I've watched our church grow to here for the last month and a half we've been running over 500 people. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing that God is doing. It is all him because we're stupid idiots, including him. But you know, here's the thing. As the church has grown, as we've done this for some time now, I've watched people come and I've watched people go. And here's the truth. Some of you that are sitting here right now and you're saying, man, I love Jesus and I'm glad to be here and I love the church. There's a great chance that some of you are going to go one day. And here's why you're going to go. You're not going to go because we quit teaching the gospel here because that ain't happening. You're not going to go because we turned the volume down on the music because that probably didn't happen either. You know, you're going to go because you never had gospel-centered community with anybody else. So when something happened in your life and one day, you know, you woke up and you had this bad thing and nobody reached out to you during that, or you didn't show up to church for a few weeks in a row and nobody gave you a phone
call,
you know, you didn't have anybody to call you because nobody knew you were missing. And it's because you did this and said, I'm keeping you here. I'm keeping you all here, except, you know, my husband or my wife, they know what's going on with me, but nobody else gets to know. And the truth is, a lot of times that's not true. You know, here's the thing. We've got to be in confessional relationships where we're confessing sin, repenting of it, pushing each other toward Jesus. We need that. And if we don't have it, it's going to be just like what I've watched. And herein lies this even greater piece of how if we would follow God in doing this and following and being in gospel-centered community, if we are willing to do that, not only will we retain more people for the kingdom of God and be able to push them toward Jesus, we'll see the church continue to grow. Because right now, I'm going to be honest with you, the church probably isn't going to grow much more than what it is right now because we can't keep up with it. It's kind of grown to this spot before, and then we're not able to do anything with it because it's like, well, I mean, you know, everybody's working another job anyway because the offerings really aren't good enough to support the deal because we got to pay so much for the building and all that stuff. You know, so these are all just pieces of the puzzle. But if we could come around this as the church and we be faithful and committed and say, I'm going to be in community and I'm going to be there for other people and not just do it just for me, what will happen is as people come, they won't just leave. We'll be inviting them. We'll see a new person and go, hey, come be in my community with me. Come join us tonight or Wednesday night or Tuesday night or whenever it is and hang out with us. And we're going to pray together. And guess what happens? Out of those relationships, some of those people will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
And He will change their homes. And He will change their lives. And it will be an amazing thing for us to get to watch God take this little old church in Pleasant View, Tennessee, and watch it explode. And you say, Chris, it's already exploded. You haven't seen anything yet.
That's right.
We have not seen anything yet. God is for the good of His name and His fame and His kingdom, and He wants to use us to be a part
That's
of
right.
it.
That's right. Easy, boy. Easy.
I'm stopping. I'm
All right.
stopping.
All right. We'll wrap on this one. What would you say to those that have questions about God, Jesus, or even church in general?
Can I take the just really quick?
Yeah.
Be around us. Go ahead and engage in community. You might be a visitor here. You might not know Christ. You might not be a Christian. Man, hang out with us. We would love that.
Here's
involved in our community.
Here's right a now. Trick. If you'll hang out long enough after a Sunday morning service out there in the foyer, and you look hungry enough, eventually somebody will say, "Hey, you want to eat lunch?" just a little trick. We've learned it. It's good. All right. To anybody that's thinking about Jesus, that you know, whatever the church. I know you asked this question. Here's the deal. I'm well aware that many of you have been burned by somebody that said that they were a Christian. I'm well aware that many of you have been burned by the church, a church, maybe this church. Well, guess what? Join the club. We all have. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because we're all a bunch of stinking sinners, and we're going to let each other down. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful piece of the whole thing, and this is the truth of the gospel, is that Jesus came, and what God did through Him in sending His Son to die for us, living a perfect life, allowed us to kill Him that we might be forgiven for our sins, and so that in turn, we might also be able to offer forgiveness and the same grace and the same mercy that was given and shown to us, we're able to give to others. Do you realize what that looks like to everybody out there that doesn't know Jesus? Do you realize that they think that that's insane? And they're like, how in the world can you still be a friend of somebody that did you wrong one time? Jesus.
Yeah.
How can we not? How can we not still be their friend? After what God has done for us and called us to, if we love Him, we will love them. And that's living the gospel. And so this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I just want to encourage you, don't let the baggage of your past keep you from moving forward in what it looks like for you to know Christ as your Savior, to allow Him to forgive you of your sin and completely change your life. Completely and utterly just dismantle everything that you thought about the church and that you thought about God and you thought about Jesus. Put it away. Go to the truth. If it is not from Scripture, if it's not from gospel, throw it out. Because Jesus loved us enough that He died for us to save our sins.
And the truth is that you need to be rescued.
Absolutely.
You were condemned. having no hope without God. And so now, because of what Jesus has done and God's mercy and His love, you can be made alive, and He's inviting you to do that today.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it, guys. This has been good. Hopefully you guys kind of have a sense of, I mean, it was fun to celebrate, kind of take a look back at this past 7 years, but more importantly, kind of understand where things are heading and what the plan is for us as a community.
Yeah.
And what that community is going to look like. Joe, if you wouldn't mind closing us with
prayer. Yeah, we're gonna transition into actual music worship, and there'll be a time after this. Chris will have some announcements. There'll be a time if you have questions about Jesus or God or the church or whatever, we'll be down front and be glad to answer those questions for you. But let's go to God in prayer real quickly. God, thank you so much for who you are. God, thank you that you're holy, God. God, and that you love us, God. Thank you so much for that. God, thank you for this morning, God, the things that you've taught us in Scripture, God. I pray, God, that you'll convict hearts, God, for in places where, God, we're not involved, or we're not getting the community or giving the community that you desire for us. God, forgive us for our sins. God, convict us of our sins, God. God, most of all, God, thank you for Jesus, God. God, I pray we live for him. God, we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name.